Hey everyone, welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the Bible teaching ministry of Rick Warren. And today we're continuing with this powerful series called The Jesus Model. In this series, Rick will walk you step by step through the process of true biblical discipleship. Rick's giving you practical tools to grow spiritually, experience God's peace, live with greater purpose, and become more like Jesus in every area of your life. Okay, and now here's the final part of a message called Helping Others Like Jesus.
Now the second thing Jesus said I came to do, and he said I want you to do, is I want you to heal, help, comfort the brokenhearted. Heal the brokenhearted. Now, hurting people, friends, are all around you. And as a pastor for over 30 years now, I know one thing for certain. Everybody has a hidden wound. Everybody. Everybody has a hidden wound, a hurt, a broken heart. They're all around you. Let me give you a little secret. One of the ways to find people who are hurting around you is look for people who are hurting others. When people are hurting others, they are revealing their own hurt. Hurt people hurt people. Hurt people hurt people. So the people who hurt you are just crying out because they need massive doses of love themselves. They're hurting others because they're hurting themselves. Now, maybe you're overwhelmed. Maybe you feel a little brokenhearted. I want you to watch this second video.
This year has held a lot of different things for our family. There's been just a lot of hardship and a lot of struggle, a lot of desperate moments. And I'd kind of come to the end of myself in the last couple of months. And we'd have had so little sleep. Our kids have had a lot of health problems. And I think Tommy and I were saying that maybe there was four nights in the last year that we've had 8 hours of sleep. And just the sleep factor has worn us completely just threadbare.
One of the toughest times in my life was when, within 3 weeks' time, I found out that my husband and my daughter both had cancer. And this was unbelievable, unbelievable. And I didn't know that what maybe both of them were going to be taken from me within a period of time.
And I was praying and I was crying out to the Lord saying, God, I just can't handle this.
And I remember that Kay said when she was lying there in the clinic room, when she learned that she had cancer, that a scripture came to her, and it's been my scripture ever since. He knows the way I take. And when he's through with me, I shall come forth as pure gold. That was Job talking, and Kay was saying the same thing. He knows what's happening. It's not unknown to him. It'll be okay.
This place of brokenness, you know, Paul talks about when I'm weak, he is strong. And it's in this place of utter desperation that God's Spirit comes and invades our life and strengthens us. And God's power is made great in our weakness.
Jesus does not minimize our pain. He is there and he enters into it and he's with us. And I'm so grateful that he's a God who feels what we feel.
Now, I don't know what hurt you're going through, what broken heart, what wound you're hiding. But I do know that what Bobby and Kay and Amy said is true. That God knows what you're going through. He's not aloof. He cares about it. When you're at your weakest point, God will be strong and will give you the strength if you will turn to him. And that Jesus is not some removed person minimizing your pain. He is entering it with you and feeling it with you at that moment. Now, I want you to take your pencil and I want you to write down the name of somebody in your life who's hurting. Okay, write down the name, somebody, a family member, a friend, a relative, somebody, a coworker who has a broken heart, who's been dealing with disappointment, discouragement, defeat, despair, whatever. Write down the name of somebody who's felt rejection or resentment or regret or hurt, and write that name down. We're going to pray for them in just a minute. Now, the third thing Jesus said I came to do, and he says, I want you to do this too. I want you to be involved in this, is he said, I came to proclaim freedom to those who feel imprisoned. Now, you say, well, I don't know anybody in prison. Let me use a different word. Have you ever heard anybody say, I feel trapped? That's called a prison. There are people who feel trapped in a relationship. There are people who feel trapped by a habit. There are people who feel trapped by their finances. There are people who feel trapped by their health. There are people who feel trapped by their secrets. There are people who feel trapped by their past. And there are people who feel trapped by their circumstances and the problems that they're facing. They're all over. Everybody feels this. We're all in different prisons. And so God says, I want you to proclaim freedom to them. What do you do? Well, first I want you to watch this, then I'll explain.
I've been imprisoned probably most of my life, I could say, with fear of being alone and unprotected. And I certainly never wanted to spend a night alone in my house.
I've struggled for the last 15 years with panic attacks. And although they're not a daily part of my life now, they were a massive part of my adolescence and somewhat a part of my adulthood. And it was crippling, absolutely crippling.
And when my husband died about 3 years ago, some of my first thoughts were, how am I going to live? I don't know how to live without someone in the house with me. It really bothered me. I felt imprisoned by it, that I didn't have a growth that I needed in spiritual values and spiritual closeness to Christ. And I was always a little bit ashamed about it.
It was one of the most humbling experiences. And I remember just crying out to God, going, I just want to be normal. I just want to feel normal. I want to do all the normal stuff. God, just free me up.
And I spent my first night alone in that house and thought I would die, but I didn't.
He didn't make it go away that night, but I did feel God whisper into my heart that He was present and He was there, and that the freedom was around the corner. And it has been a process and a journey and a lot of three steps forward, two steps back, but I have definitely learned so much about how God wants to walk through the pain with me, how God wants to empower me with His Spirit, how I am not alone.
God was a very present help in time of trouble, one of my favorite verses. So that's what I did. And now 3 years later, no problems. I felt like God had let me out of that prison of fear.
Now you've got fears. What do you do when you feel captive to a fear? And how do you help other people get over their fears? Well, the Bible is filled with truth. And the Bible says the truth will set you free. And the Bible gives us at least a dozen major ways. That's a whole other series, a seminar on fear. But let me just give you a couple quickies right up front. One way is you must learn to practice the presence of Christ. What does that mean? You need to learn the habit of reminding yourself every single moment of the day, God is with me. You need to practice talking to Him all the time. A running conversation. When you're walking down the street, you're getting in your car, you're taking a bath, you're going to the bathroom, doesn't matter what you're doing, you talk to God all the time. You just have this running conversation with God. And you tell Him how you're feeling, and you realize that He's always with you. A lot of times we say, I'm going to go spend some time with God. Well, let me tell you something. All time is God time. He's with you all the time. You're just not aware of it. But when you become aware of it, the more aware you become, the more your fear is going to go down. Because when He is near, you lose your fear. When God is near, you lose your fear. Why? God is love. And the Bible says this, there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out all fear. The more you feel loved by God, the less fearful you'll be. The more fearful you are, the less you understand the love of God. And so the more you get God's love in your life, and the more you practice talking to Him moment by moment, the less afraid you're going to be. You're just not going to be afraid of things. Let me give you another thing. You want to break the fear out of your life? You want to break through that prison? You must move against the fear. That's called faith. What does it mean? You do the very thing you're most afraid to do. It's the only way to get rid of fear. You're not going to go around it, over it, under it. No, the only way you break through fear is go straight at it. And you go, you do the thing you fear the most. And when you do that thing you fear the most, that's called faith. You open the door, the closet, and the boogeyman isn't as big as you thought he was. You see, the fear is always worse than the reality. The fear of failure is worse than failure. Failure is no big deal. You just get up and do it, start over. The fear of rejection is worse than rejection. The fear of embarrassment is worse than embarrassment. Why? Because it goes on for hours and days and years. The embarrassment is just a few seconds. The fear is always worse than reality. Fear is F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. It's a fake. It's a cop-out. It's a con job. And it's spiritual oppression from Satan. He's putting those thoughts in your mind to try to make you afraid. I want you to write down the name of a person who you know is trapped by a fear or an addiction or a compulsion or a secret or a habit or a relation. Somebody you know, just feel, they're really in prison. They're stressed out. They're trapped. And I want you to begin praying for them. Jesus says, that's what Christians come to do. Then number four, he says, I came to proclaim recovery of sight to the blind. I love that word recovery, circle it, because we believe and celebrate recovery at Saddleback Church. God says part of Jesus' ministry is the ministry of recovery. And he says, I want to help people recover their sight. Now, what does that mean? It means you must be willing to offer insight to people who are spiritually blind or relationally blind. And remember, the truth will set you free. How do you help blind people see the faults in their life? How do you help people see how they're messing up their life? You tell them the truth. And let me tell you something. This is the hardest thing to do, but it's the most loving thing to do. Sometimes a surgeon has to cut you to heal you. It doesn't do a good for a surgeon to say, oh, you got cancer. Just think happy thoughts. It'll all work out in the end. No, it won't. If you got cancer, you're going to die of it unless somebody helps you. You're going to die unless somebody cuts it out or does something with it. How many times have you seen a friend, a loved one, a brother, a sister, a parent, a friend at work, and you see them making a stupid mistake like, I'm going to leave my husband, I'm going to leave my wife, but because God wants me to be happy, and you said nothing. Love tells the truth. Love cares enough to get in the face and say, I am not going to let you ruin your life. I am not going to let you blow your life. I'm not going to let you make this stupid mistake. I'm not going to, you're marrying the wrong person. Do not take those drugs. Do not accept that decision. Do not move in with that person. You say, well, it's none of my business. It is your business if you care. It is apathy. It is unlove that stays silent. Love helps the blind to see by telling them the truth. And sometimes the most loving thing you can do is go to that person in your family who's manipulating everybody for several generations and say, stop it. We're not going to let you do this anymore. You're not going to manipulate. There are going to be some boundaries here. And I don't like it and you don't like it and this is painful and it's painful, but we're not going to let this go on. That's called love. Jesus said, I came to provide recovery of sight to the blind. I want you to write down the name of a person you need to tell the truth to. Who do you need to tell the truth to? Somebody you know who's blind to the effect of their actions. They don't see it. They don't see what they're doing to the kids. They don't see what they're doing to you. They don't see what they're doing. Self-defeating ways. They're in a fog. They're confused about which way to go. And you can invite them to your small group. You can invite them to church. You can give them a Christian book. You help them get the truth. By the way, speaking of Christian books and blindness, I thought I'd show you this to you. This is The Purpose-Driven Life in Braille. Isn't that cool? Yeah, in Braille. And this part right here, I really like this part. It's really inspirational. I could feel the inspiration coming off that page. Recovery of sight to the blind. See, we're all blind in different areas. We need to invite people to help us. The truth will set us free. Watch this video.
When I think of blindness, I don't automatically think of spiritual blindness. I think for me, I remember being in a school for the blind in Rwanda. And I'd never been in a place like this. It was just this basic little building, and it was full of probably 50, mostly young men and women who were blind.
I'm an 85-year-old woman, and so my health is declining naturally. And my eyes aren't quite as good as they used to be. I don't walk quite as steadily as I used to walk.
And what was so impactful to me about this was realizing that in our country, people who are blind have accesses and access to resources and Braille and Braille education and books. It's difficult. I don't mean to minimize it, but there's access. But suddenly sitting in another place where they really had nothing, I saw them as forgotten. They were already poor, and now they were struggling with being blind. And in the country that they lived in, that put them at the bottom of the rung of people who were cared for. They were forgotten.
And I know that Jesus, he met every need he could meet. If he saw those who were blind, he wanted to heal them. He saw those who were weak, he wanted to help them.
Jesus took special pains to be with people who were blind, people who were deaf. I mean, he intentionally, lots of times they came to him, but he sought them out and he never pushed them away, and they were not forgotten ones to him. And it just cemented in my mind the fact that I believe our lives are to be about caring for the forgotten ones.
I'm thankful that Jesus cares about all who are hurting in some way. And so I want to hurt for them. I want to hurt in that way that I can help them. I just have a tender heart for people who are hurting in those ways.
There's a fifth area that God says, I want you to care about. Fifth people. And he said, that is, I want you to release the oppressed. He said, that's what I came to do. Release the oppressed. And God is saying here, I want you to care about the people in life who are kicked around, who are knocked around, who are picked on, who are put down. Do you know anybody like that at work? Of course you do. You know anybody like that at school or in your neighborhood? Of course you do. You know anybody like that in your family? Yes. Where everybody piles on them, there's the easy target. They're joked about either in their presence or behind. They're ridiculed, maybe for the language they have or the way they look different from you. Racial prejudice is real, and it needs to be confronted and dealt with. And the Bible says we are to release the oppressed. We are to help people who tend to be put down and taken for granted and made fun of and things like that. God says, I want you to release the oppressed. And by the way, spiritual oppression, as I said, which is depression, you certainly know somebody who's depressed. And they need your help. I want you to watch this last video.
When I think of oppression, I think of some of the people I've met around the world. I think of the little girls that have been rescued from the sex trade that I met in Cambodia. I think of the women who were sold into prostitution in India, and the hopelessness in both of them. The women saying, how could I leave this? What would I do differently? I have no hope. There's nothing else I know how to do. In our country, in even our church, there are women who are living in oppressive relationships. And as women, we need to take responsibility to make sure that we speak out God's message, that that's not okay. And as men, as fathers, raising your boys and raising your girls for the next generation, you need to make sure that you are modeling to them that that is not okay with God, that God treats women and children with dignity and with respect and with kindness, not with oppression. He is all about releasing oppression and helping us to live with the kind of freedom that can only come when we are in relationship with Him.
One of the saddest days of my life, I think, was in my husband's life, was when we found out that our son was into drugs. And so we thought, you know, if we can't raise our own son right, then we don't have the right to be up teaching other people how to raise their kids, how to teach and live. And this was very hard for us. But the wonderful thing is that our friends in the church told us, that's not right. You can still teach us. Go ahead and live your life and be strong, and we still believe in you. Failure doesn't have to be the end of things. The good thing is that he changed. He was able to break that and now has become a wonderful dad and a wonderful person. He's raising his son in a good way. And so the good part is that he's back.
Now, friends, what we've talked about today is the heart of Christianity. It's the core of our faith. It's what God wants us to do. The Bible tells us in Matthew 25 that at that judgment, the one thing you're going to be judged on at that particular judgment is how you treated other people. Yeah, you're going to be judged on that, how you treated other people. Jesus said, I'll say, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and in prison and you visited me. And we'll say, when did we do that, Lord? And Jesus will say, when you did it to any of the least of my brothers, you did it to me. Who did Jesus come for? He said, I came, the doctor doesn't come for the healthy. The doctor comes for those who need health. Here, I made a list of who Jesus came for. The chewed up, the crossed off, the crying out, the dropped out, the edged out, the freaked out, the have-nots, the held back, the hungover, the knocked around and left out, the loaded down and looked over. Jesus came for the locked up, the led astray, the laid off, and the let down. He came for the messed up and the mixed up and the passed over and the picked on, the pinned down, the pushed around, the put down, and the ripped off. He came for the run over and the run down, the screwed up, the shrugged off, the shut in and the shut out. He came for the smashed up and the stacked against and the strung out. He came for the thrown away and the turned off and the used up and the walked over, the washed out, the worn out, the wiped out, and the written off. He came for you. Now, at Saddleback, we call doing these five things the peace plan. The peace plan that we're doing is not something that we do overseas. In fact, the last thing I want you to write this down is this. Peace is a lifestyle. Would you write that down? Peace is a lifestyle. It's not a project. It's not something you go somewhere and do and then you come back. Projects are good. That's good. But peace is a lifestyle. It is a lifestyle of doing these five things: sharing the good news, healing the brokenhearted, offering freedom, offering insight to those who need it, releasing the oppressed, giving justice. And that's what we do in the peace plan: to bring the good news to the spiritually poor and to heal the brokenhearted. We promote reconciliation. Get right with God, get right with other people. That brings healing to brokenheartedness, and it brings spiritual bounty to spiritually poor people, promoting reconciliation. To release the oppressed and to empower the kicked around and to offer insight to the blind and confused, we equip servant leaders who don't abuse and don't oppress and don't distress. To bring good news to the materially poor, we assist the poor. To heal the hurting, both physically and emotionally, we care for the sick. And to release those who are oppressed by ignorance and imprisoned by a lack of education, we educate the next generation. What are we doing here at Saddleback? We just do what Jesus told us to do. It's a lifestyle wherever you are. And my challenge to you is that you will decide today, I'm going to be intentional about this and I'm going to be intense about this with the people God brings into my life this week. Because these five categories, they're all around you. Let's bow our heads. You're going to go on leading a self-centered life and think only about yourself? Are you going to develop the kind of life where God says, I'll take care of your needs when you take care of the needs of others? I want you to look with your head bowed at your outline and look at the names. If you haven't filled a name in any one of those, just fill it in. And I want us to pray for these people right now. Would you say, Lord, for this person who needs the good news, help me to share it with them. And Lord, for this person who's brokenhearted and down and discouraged and disappointed and feels rejected, feels hurting, help me to heal their hurt by offering love and comfort. And Father, for this person who needs freedom, they're trapped. They feel trapped in a relationship, trapped in an addiction, trapped by a secret, trapped by their fears. Help me to show them that the truth will set them free. For those who are confused, who are blind, who don't know which way to go, who don't know what to do with their lives, help me to point the way, to point them to the light of the world, Jesus. For the friends and the people in my life who are obviously kicked around, for the person who's unliked at work, who everybody makes fun of, who's put down and knocked around, help me to provide love and acceptance and relief and release. Father, I want to practice the peace plan in my family, in my work, as a lifestyle every day of my life. And then pray this prayer. Jesus Christ, thank you for doing these things with me. I need the good news in my life. I need you to replace my spiritual poverty with your spiritual blessing. I need you to heal my brokenness and my broken heart. I need you to give me freedom from the things that tie me down and trap me. I need you to give me insight when I'm blind and I don't see the truth. And I need you to release me and help me recover from the things when I feel put down and kicked around. I want to be your instrument of peace in the world today. In your name I pray. Amen.
What a great message from Pastor Rick today. There's something I always take away from his message. Here's Rick to tell you how you can help support this ministry.
Jesus told his disciples that they should live their lives according to five specific purposes. He said, you've got to love God with all your heart, that's worship, and love your neighbor as yourself, that's ministry, that's called the Great Commandment. And then Jesus said, go make disciples, that's evangelism, baptize them into the family of God, that's fellowship, a sign of fellowship. And then he said, teach them to obey everything I've taught you, that's discipleship, and we call that the Great Commission. We believe at Daily Hope that a great commitment to the Great Commandment and the Great Commission will produce a great Christian, a great church, a great company, a great community. You know, I started Daily Hope so I could spread the good news about Jesus, not just across America, but all around the world. And we want people to know that God's Word is filled with hope and truth. And the power that we need to follow him every day is available to every single one. You know as well as I do that the Word of God changes lives. It's alive, it's active, and it breathes new life and new love into all of our lives. So wherever you listen to this, whether you listen on the website, whether you listen on a radio station, or whether you listen through a podcast, you're a part of the Daily Hope family, and I need your help. We could not do this without your support. We're 100% listener-funded. Would you continue to pray for this broadcast, and would you continue to support us? And write to me. Let me hear from you. I absolutely love reading the stories that are sent to me. So write me, pray for me, and support this ministry. And God will bless it, and God will bless you, and we'll get to heaven, and we'll thank God for all the people going to be in heaven because you cared.
Hey, if you'd like to support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, just go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com. Or you can text the word HOPE to 70309. That's the word HOPE to 70309. And really, from the bottom of our hearts, we thank you so much for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people everywhere. Hey, be sure to join us next time when we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.